Okay, here we go again. Welcome back to Mostly Hairless Apes here in the Evolving Church of Science. Yep, I'm changing the name. Just it's evolving. Evolution is the key thing here. I'm trying to find out artificial selection. Still working on the math. It's a little tricky. But I've also wanted to throw out today's session of problem solving because I realized if it's a good scientific theory, you should be able to provide accurate predictions. And that's, I've been having this idea about artificial selection and saying, this is how we make decisions about stuff. We've got four major variables. I can break them down, isolate those critical variables, and have a process to understand human decision making. I mentioned those four variables. Let's review. Getting ready for the exams. So we had talked about information derived from biology, from belief, from government and economy, and those are our social adaptations. So biological information is all of that sensory and visceral information. We all feel something. How do I feel? Am I healthy? Am I good? Do I feel okay? Am I in a comfortable environment? I mean, in terms of excess resources, am I able to pursue my happiness? I'm happy, well-fed, healthy. Then if I don't have any immediate threats, if I'm in a good place, then I can shift my gears to mental information. Because obviously if I have to deal with biological information, that's life or death. I'm going to make decisions a lot of the times based on biology, on pain, on hunger. So if we could minimize those things, that would be an ethical choice. And if we could do that socially to minimize the biological needs of everyone, would that be a better world? That's where we're going. So what about that mental information? Assuming you're all content and happy, what's the mental information we all work with? And I've hypothesized here that the main core of any civilization is the belief system. What do you accept as an explanation for the unknown information you have? We have knowledge about how things work. Science gives us that great source of knowledge, going through experiments and observations, and we're looking for those consistent patterns, which is why we have the Evolving Church of Science in the first place. But you got to have faith in something. That's what the preachers have been saying for millennia. And they've been saying that, and it really does make sense, though. Because if I can get rid of my doubt, if I can be convinced that this is a good way to go, that even though I don't have any evidence to back it up, I just believe it, I just accept it, that's a really great thing. And now, when religions do that, they provide the all-powerful deity. And he or she fill in the role. They're your parent, your sibling, your collaborators, whatever support role you need in a social setting, or even acting alone, just that conviction that you have. That's a beautiful thing, faith. It is. But when science is your primary belief system, you accept to believe that we're operating on the assumption that we're mostly hairless apes, and that we've got to figure this out on our own. Having been raised Catholic, I thought the bureaucracy of the Catholic Church was gorgeous because it was said, how could God be doing everything all the time? Well, you have patron saints and you have guardian angels. The Catholic Church was one of the first bureaucracies. Ancient Rome probably had something like it, but the Catholic Church picked it up and said, we're going to have all these other administrators. Now, the beautiful thing about them, they weren't on the payroll since they were all... they were non-corporeal. They didn't exist on this earth. But you could convince people that there was this, not only was there God out there, but there was this beautiful bureaucracy behind it. All those offices in heaven. But assuming you've got your faith anchored in whatever it is, I'm hoping it's in science. We'll come back to that. But then you have to make economic decisions. And the economy, the hypothesis we're working with here, is that the economy is all about what access to resources do you have? What available resources do you have to employ for your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? If I don't have to worry about long-term consequences, if I own my home, if I'm well-fed, if I've got income coming in, I've got investment income, I've got retirement income, I've got my whole life covered, then I don't have to worry about economic stuff. But if not, you got to get up every day and grind out a paycheck and live paycheck to paycheck. That's a little more brutal. So economic decisions come into factoring what you're doing all the time. But if you could minimize them and then you believe in something, and then that just leaves the government. What are the social rules or how we should interact? And this is where we get into trouble. Because if you're wealthy and you're well-fed and you own your own home and you don't have any economic issues and you believe something, then you can act on changing the rules. This is why we get so many marvelously devout religious believers telling us, oh, you shouldn't kill babies because we can kill other people. We can kill brown people. We can kill non-Christians. But we don't want to kill our people, which is a nice religious mechanism to control the crowds. Anybody who doesn't believe, anybody who's a heathen, an apostate, we'll take them out. But that's the biggest problem. And it actually then provides the biggest ethical argument within the evolving Church of Science when we introduce probabilistic ethics. We say, well, why do you get to make decisions about things? Why do you get to throw a whole bunch of resources at something because you believe something? And if it believes in a God the rest of us don't believe in, you don't get to make those rules. But that some people think they should because of God. And I would have to say, in a democratic society, you're trying to force your religious beliefs on me by putting in laws that support your religious beliefs is amazingly unethical. So how are we going to work around that? We're going to try to get rid of rich people. Well, we don't want to eat all the rich. We want rich. We want competition. Competition's a good thing. It promotes solutions. It promotes problem solving. That's the whole episode we're working on here. We want to have problem solving. And can the Revolving Church of Science with probabilistic ethics give us that? Well, assuming we're moving towards a society then where we want to take care of physical needs. We don't want people to have to make things based on animal instincts. Because if you're hungry or lusty or whatever you feel like, that is uncivilized. That, by definition, you're acting like an animal. You're acting just on your biology. Then we default back to natural selection, and we get evolution by natural selection, and whatever hormones and neural circuitry and autonomic reflexes have evolved are going to determine your behavior. But if artificial selection is real, if we actually have free will and consciousness, then we can actually make a decision. You can choose to be civilized. You can say, oh, let's have some rules. Well, what should the rules be? Well, we don't have all the information, so it's hard to make up the rules. Hence, we have belief, and then we have the rules that we come up with based on that belief. And if the rules are from science, and they say, we don't have all the information, and we don't know if there's a God out there, and we don't want to make rules to force anybody to do anything, well, then the best thing we can do is promote optimal human development. That's the ethical choice. And that means we should look at ourselves and say, hey, we're all one species. As far as science tells us, we're all Homo sapiens. We're going to have to share the planet. And who's got a good idea? I don't know. There's lots of good ideas out there. Let's do democracy then. Let's split it up, optimize human development, and let everybody determine their own affairs. Let's do a bottom-up government and let everybody experiment with life. And then we'll learn about each other. We'll learn about the best ways to do something, the best way to run a family, the best way to run a business, the best way to run an environment, the best way to run a social group. Well, we've been experimenting with things for years. We've got Robert's Rules of Order. We've got different meeting protocols. We've got different events that we do. So how does that say about that? What can probabilistic tell us? So if my personal problems are minimal, and I'm solving problems. That's, like I said, the problem with rich people, the people who have excess resources. So we definitely want to cap capitalism. That was an episode a little while ago. And we just want to say, we just want a lid on it. We don't want infinite wealth, or not almost infinite wealth, and that's billionaires. We don't need any billionaires. Let's chop it down to 100 millionaires. Does anybody really need more than $100 million? Or even $10 million? We'll have to argue about that one, obviously. But let's put a cap on it. Let's at least agree there should be a cap. And that if you start accumulating so many resources because of our global economy, we've created a global economy. We've built in all these networks. And just because you came up with something that you can skim a profit off of doesn't mean you should get billions of dollars to control. Or at the very least, we got to get it out of politics. So you can't buy people like freaking Elon Musk offering millions of dollars for people to vote in Pennsylvania. That's got to be illegal, and if it's not, it should be. We have to have competent humans making real choices about rules, not just for money. All right, so we got all the other questions solved. Because that's what's going on when you resolve all these questions. We really can't answer the big questions. What does life mean? Why are we doing this? Like I said, that's for the philosophy debates. That's for us to sit around and talk about, and why should we make these rules? And why should we direct life in one way or another? Because that's what we're doing here with artificial selection. We make rules, we structure markets, and then things happen, and they cause selection. They cause people to think certain ways. They select for certain genetic variables if you don't fit into these molds. Now, and that's really the distinction at the level of college versus university. If we think about how we organize our system right now, we do have an educational system in place here in America. And most of it's geared towards, if you ask your average college student, which I've been doing for 40 years, why are you in college? Well, you want a job. I want a good job. I want to make money. The economy is the dominant thing. We don't distribute our resources well because the way our current economic system works is it's distributed very unequally because we have this ownership class because certain people have been controlling stuff for 500 years during what is mostly known as the colonial era. And the bottom line is we've said, oh, I can own this property. And if I own it, I get to make all the rules, which is really no different than monarchs of old. And that's the stumbling block from an ethical perspective. That's why we need to cap capitalism. Because ethically, if we're saying people are more important than anything, that we want to keep people alive. We're just trying to follow evolutionary rules here. And we want the species to survive and flourish. If we want humanity to survive and flourish, one of the things we basically realize is genetic diversity is important. That diversity is a good thing. That's why sex has evolved. That's why monocultures die out. We don't want pathogens can take advantage of genetic conformity. We want genetic diversity. Our whole immune system has evolved a trick of genetic diversity. It rolls the dice every day, and we put out millions of lymphocytes to combat different parasites and pathogens that get in our bodies. Does it screw up? Sure, it screws up. It makes allergies, has autoimmune diseases. But for the most part, most of us stay pretty healthy because we've got this genetic diversity. Because we don't know what life's going to deal us. That's why we want diversity. We want options. We want choices. We want to have potential. And so we should optimize that. And that's the argument for life. But it's not just natural life. We don't want to be animals. We want to be civilized. So how do we control our markets? How do we make our government rules? Well, it depends on our belief. Once again, we're back to science, and the code we get from the Evolving Church of Science is probabilistic ethics. Make probabilities in your favor. Choose the best option when there's limited knowledge, but use as much knowledge as possible, and then take your next best guess. So what do we know about humans? We know that if we train someone, if we raise them with nutrition and healthcare and education, they have functioning brains. They can work in the economy and they can support themselves. So that should be the goal of our global civilization. That should be the highest priority, to optimize human development, which means we need to supply nutrients and healthcare and education as much as possible to as many people as possible, which means we got to charge some taxes. That's where we're going to cap the rich. We're going to start skimming off the top, and we'll do it 1% at a time. We're going to take, maybe we'll do it one place value at a time. Let's go with the billionaires to get a handle on this. Nobody needs more than $1 billion. Let's take it down from there. Anybody who's got more than $1 billion, if you're not taking care of building schools and building health care and supplying better nutrition and taking care of the environment, we're going to take it from you. That's the bottom line. That's what we all need to step up and say. No more ridiculously rich people. You have way too many resources. And the rest of us are scrimping and saving and trying to get by. We're going to share. Sorry. Deal with it. And that's your deal. Because everybody's willing to work and grind. We do it all the time. And we're still doing that. But what should we be grinding towards? Solving problems. That should be the only issue. And what are the problems that need to be solved? Well, if we're optimizing human development, what do we do? Well, what's the biggest problem? Well, one of the biggest problems is genetics. When you get down to who does what, who can do what, we say, oh, wow. Well, part of that's genetics. Well, how do we control genetics? We don't. We could do genetic engineering. We don't want to get into that yet because we don't have enough knowledge. We're just in our infancy in the years. We've been doing genetic engineering for about 50 years now. Back in the late 60s, early 70s, we started to figure out how to manipulate DNA. We only figured out what DNA was in 1953. That's the Watson and Crick work. And everything since then has been about, wow, there's this amazing information storage in biological systems. We have this stuff called DNA, which works through RNA to make protein and give us structure and function. And we're still trying to sort all that out. And we're probably a long way from mastering that. And that's something down the road that we'll have to worry about. But right now, the only ethical choice is to say, you know what? We all have genetic differences. We should celebrate that because we don't know which genetic options are going to be useful. Just like the immune system teaches us that genetic variability is a good thing to deal with problems, if we optimize human development and we say, what's the best you can be with your genetic variables? Well, how are genetics determined? They're determined by reproduction. Every generation gets reproduced sexually. So people have to get together, make a baby, and then they have to raise it. And so the family should be the core government unit, the extended family. And that's why in the evolving Church of Science, we have Grand Falloons. Grand Falloons are what I'm borrowing from Kurt Vonnegut to say, this is how we structure our social systems, the extended family. And then the math works out to say that should be about 200 adults. 200 responsible adults should link together into an organizational unit. And that should be, they should have healthcare and education. They should be able to raise young, take care of their old, because they're the guardians of a given set of genetic variables. The individual extended family, with whoever else they associate with, provides resources. Because that's how our economy works. The economy says we're only working as adults. Only people who are generating income get to play. If you're a dependent, you don't get to play because you have to pay somebody for a service to stay alive. If you're an elder person living in an assisted living situation, if you're a child growing up, you are dependent on some other stream of income that you're not personally generating right now. And if you're lucky enough to have retirement income, maybe that's covering, maybe you're paying your own way through assisted living. Or maybe the family's chipping in. But the point being, it's the family that determines life and death decisions. And this hokum about abortion and euthanasia and other people worrying about that, tell them to go mind their own business. Because anything that's involving life and death should be determined primarily at the level of the family. And you know, if we think there's an extreme there, we've got to find out where that limit is. You know, if somebody can't raise a baby and they get pregnant, they should be able to have an abortion. Because we don't want defective humans. We don't want dysfunctional humans. And if somebody's not ready for 20 years of parenting, why the hell should we force them to do that? That is ridiculous. Maybe at a future time in history, when we are short on humans, we can worry about that. But right now, if somebody doesn't want to do that, it's ridiculous to say, yes, you have to have that baby and raise it as best you can with whatever limited resources you have. Because that just breeds social pathology. It breeds an underclass that allows people to manipulate other people. Because if I don't have enough resources, I'm subject to manipulation by somebody who does. And so families should not be the only ones to determine life and death decisions. The couples, the family, the immediate family around them, who's going to supply support? Who's going to pay for 20 years of schooling and education and health insurance and medical care and housing and clothing and food and everything that's needed to optimize development of a human? So the legal, social, ethical entity should be the extended family. Grand Falloon, if you wish, clan, tribe, extended family, tong, whatever you want to call it. We're going to have some sort of level of legal representation. They should be corporations. They should be legal economic entities. Because within those, they set their own rules. They decide who gets which resources and how things get distributed. And then the next level, the challenge for us to deal with natural selection beyond genetics, is the environment we all live in. And that should be a group of Grand Falloons. That should be defined based on natural ecosystems, watersheds, how much energy and flow is going through a different area. People should be producing enough food to survive on in a given area and distributing it in, through an economy and a market and producing products and generating profits so they have excess resources that they can trade with other people and explore new life and liberty and pursuits of happiness and build up those towns and cities and villages, which are associations of Grand Falloons. And that would build up a functional level of human society. And then the biggest level, way up at the top, is these nation-state things that we have. We have different nations, we have states, we have these large government entities, and we let people get on top of these things and make big rules for the rest of us. And we should say, you know what, you guys just aren't that important. You should provide for a common defense. You should go back to those wonderful founding documents for the U.S., promote the general welfare. And all you guys should be doing is putting the checks and balances on things for the local groups. Those guys should be saying, where are the boundaries? Within the boundaries, back for a family. You guys are controlling life and death. We're not going to control much beyond that. If a life or death decision needs to be made, pass it off to that, back to the Grand Falloon. If an environmental decision needs to be made, that should be, if a hazard hits, we should be able to marshal resources and go help somebody out and sort those out. But those guys at the top should only be looking ahead. They should be looking at the big problems and what can't be handled at the local level. Things like global climate change. That's the kind of stuff they should be looking at. What are international, what should trade routes be? How should we develop a global transportation network so we could all get around a little easier? Those are the only thing those people should be doing. And we shouldn't be worrying about how to kill each other and take each other's stuff. Anybody who starts a war ought to be put in jail. Fucking Putin, you can't just go into another country and start taking their shit. That should be shut down. The only reason we should have a military is we should have a global police force that says, no, you don't get to steal anybody's stuff. We're all going to hold on to what we have and sort it out from there. Then we're going to break it down into functional groups and distribute the resources we best we can. How do we get there? Well, you got to think global and act local. That's the bottom line. That's what we're dealing with here. We got to think about the big questions, but we got to take it down to the local level. And basically, you got to solve your own problems. We can't count on other people. That's what the Church of Science tells us. Whereas religion says, Big Brother will help us, and we have these dependency, and we'll vote for the orange parasite because he's going to save us. It's just the essence of stupidity. It's throwing your hands up and giving up. And bottom line is, you each got to get up every day and you got to grind and we got to work. And we can do that. But we got to do it together. And we got to say, you know what? Everybody's entitled to their chance. And the one thing we can do is say, we got to cap the big dogs. We got to shut down the kings. We don't want any kings. We just want humans. We just want people. And maybe someday we can move forward a little better and keep making it better. Keep making it better out there, folks. Take care.